something that my younger one would do, like, he doesn't necessarily get in trouble for it because I can tell that it's not really his fault. He's just, it's something that's going on in his brain, you know, it's just who he is. And then, but if my older one was to do that, it would feel like he was disobeying or being bad. So it's kind of hard to distribute punishment between the two, because I don't want one to feel like that I love them more than the other because the way that I treat them.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Jenny Friedman. I'm an ADHD coach and the host of the show. Yeah, we need a lot more people talking about ADHD because it's invisible. If you had a pair of glasses that can make you see the invisible, what would ADHD look like? If you're wondering right now where your glasses are, you're probably in the right place. This show has a mission: demystify and destigmatize ADHD once and for all. Stuff isn't rocket science, people.
Welcome to the show. Today I have with me Sean Wallace, which I have to say is a new person I have just met through Facebook. Hello, Sean.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. Thanks for joining me today. I just wanted to let everybody know that the reason why I asked you on the show today was because you had responded to an article I posted up on Facebook with your story. And it was a response to an article I wrote called The Process of ADHD. And it's up on my website, but sometimes I share these things on Facebook. And you had written, as a response to that article, I want to say it's your story, sort of, right?
Yeah. The motivation behind it was just kind of, I just started taking new medication and just the I don't know, just how much better I feel about it, and I don't know, that's just what motivated me to do it.
Got it. So what I was thinking was maybe if you wouldn't mind sharing what you wrote, because I think so many of the listeners really would, like, probably share a lot of the things that you feel and think, and if you would share it with them, I think it'd be wonderful.
Right, right. Okay, you want me to just go ahead and read it to you?
Yeah, just go ahead. Just get it out there.
Okay, all right. I was diagnosed ADHD the summer before sixth grade. I was prescribed Adderall, and I hated taking it. I never ate. My mouth was always dry. I couldn't sleep, and it was hard to make friends because I was so quiet all the time. And usually, I'd be talking up a storm and getting in trouble. I would trick the nurse at school and pretend to take it because I didn't like it that much. The positive side, that I would go from straight Fs to straight A's in a matter of weeks. I would clean my house, be good. I never procrastinated. I was nicer. It pretty much worked miracles. Come to find out, though, I was just taking way too high of a dose. I was taking 30 milligrams, and I wasn't sure if I was taking it twice a day or if it was a standard release, but it's still, it's way too high of a dose. But I quit taking it right before high school, but right now I'm 25, and a couple of months ago I just got pre-prescribed and pre-diagnosed again, and now I take 10 milligrams twice a day, even though, like, I usually only take one. And I feel like all my problems in life are solved. Before Adderall, I'd hate to wake up every morning. I hated every job that I worked, and I've worked a lot of jobs over this past year. I couldn't keep one due to a lack of interest. I could never listen to my kids or girlfriend. I never cleaned my house because I just hated doing it. I just couldn't work up the effort to do it. Missed interviews, appointments, meetings. I'd lose everything, forget everything, never had any energy. The list just keeps going on and on. Now that I take medication for it again and the correct dosage, I feel like I can take on the world and nothing can stop me. If you're suffering like I was and you're reading this, make a doctor's appointment as soon as possible. No one deserves the depression or the anxiety, the feeling of meaningless existence, the total self-consciousness, being lazy and lethargic for no reason. There's a life out there for you. All you need is a little help. If you need any advice or someone to talk to, send me a message request and I'll be happy to chat with you. God bless.
Thank you. That's just wonderful. I mean, it's wonderful. It's wonderful for you to share that because I think a lot of people, don't share their story in such an, honest, authentic way. And it's interesting to me, at least, that you have been on medication and had such a negative experience that it made you go off.
I could not stand it. Like, I went from, like, I mean, I would always get in trouble, but I always had friends and always would be talking and would, you know, just hang out most of the day. And once I started taking my medicine, like, I was just, like, complete silence all day long. I craved homework, and I never ate my food. I would give my food away at lunch. And, I mean, the teachers liked me more, but, you know, my socially, nobody did.
Right.
Just because of the change.
And how did you, so you didn't like it. Did it made you make you feel sick?
No, it didn't really make me feel sick. It just didn't make me feel like me. I was me for, you know, for so long. And it was this hyper little kid with an attitude and, you know, funny and energetic. And but as soon as I take my medicine, it was just like the complete opposite. And I mean, to way too much to an extreme, you know, it was just like I wasn't me anymore. And that's why I think I just didn't like taking it.
Right. And so when you would go in the nurse's office and pretend to take it, what would happen? I mean, did
if
they
I
know?
Remember correctly.
They never knew that you didn't take it?
No. Well, a couple of my friends would, but what I would do, because every morning, if you took medicine, you'd be in homeroom class. They'd call you down to the office to come take your medicine. They'd give it to you in a little cup and give you a little glass of water. So what I would do is I would put it and cheek it and drink the water and then leave the office and spit it out in my hand and throw it in the garbage once I got back to class.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
So what exactly would you say was the big, I mean, because you said a lot here, like just things were not going great as far as keeping a job or your relationships with your kids and your girlfriend. So that's, I guess, what made it you open up to taking it again or getting diagnosed again?
Yeah. What really motivated me to go get it again is because I wanted to get back into school. And I just remembered the grade differences in school and whatnot. And I don't know, I wanted to do good in school. I want to have a future and whatnot. And I guess I just didn't really care about the side effects. I just want to be successful, I guess.
Oh, so even though you didn't like the way it made you feel, you did do better in school?
Yeah, I did a lot better. I went, I would make up all my, like, in grade school when I was taking the 30 milligrams, I would, you know, have all these incomplete assignments and I'd have Fs. And, I mean, it wasn't because I wasn't smart. Like, I've always had an above average IQ. It's just that I never did my homework. I never wanted to. I always got detentions for back talking or suspended for, I don't know, just being really bad, I guess, cussing out teachers and never coming to school. Yeah. But once I started taking my medicine, I would get in school and, like, one day, like, boom, 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 like, knock out a whole week's worth of, incomplete assignments.
So it sounds like you sort of turned into, like, this super robot.
Yeah, that's exactly what it felt like. It really does. And, like, I'd be sitting in class and, like, a teacher would be talking or teaching or something, and, you know, I would usually be the guy, like, whatever, you know, screw this class and be talking to my friends and stuff, but if I was on my medicine, I would be, like, focused, like, I'm ready to learn, and then, like, if somebody else was talking, like, it would make me so angry because I'm just like, can't you see she's trying to teach, you know, and I'd, like, you're just procrastinating the homework that, like, for some reason that I'm craving, I don't know, it's so weird.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, okay, so yeah, you turned into the complete opposite.
Yeah,
oh,
it was
my goodness.
Way too high of a dosage.
Yeah, yeah. So you had some successes in life without the medication, though, because you had a girlfriend and kids.
Yeah.
I guess that's more the personality.
When you're not taking medicine and stuff, I mean, it's not like it's not manageable. It's just, it makes things harder than, you know, they really have to be. It's
what
one
kind
of the
of
things
jobs
where,
were your first jobs?
Man, I worked at Taco Bell. I worked I worked in a factory for like 3 months. Worked at customer service for like 2 months, and then I went to school. I got from being diagnosed ADHD. I went to a place called Department of Rehabilitation. I think it's what it's called, and they just help people with mental disorders, I guess you would call it, or even physical disorders, and they help you try to get through school and try to help you find a job and pretty much just help you any way they can. So what they did for me was they helped me get my CDL license. So I went and did a month of CDL license class and got my CDL and started driving a truck. And I did that for one job for a pretty long time, just because it paid really well. Like, I was making almost $70,000 a year, but I hated it. Like, I hated going to work every time, every day.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, and I ended up getting fired for that because, man, again, I can blame it on my ADHD, but, I mean, ultimately, take responsibility for it. I forgot a lot of the stuff that I needed to take with me at work, and it put me behind on my route a few days. But, man, I've worked everything. I've worked at Pizza Hut for a server. I've worked at Waffle House for a server. I've worked at a hotel. I now currently work on Rent-A-Center, but at Rent-A-Center, but I'm taking my medicine again now. So, I mean, it's like I wake up every day and I'm ready to go to work. And when I get there, like, pre-medicine, this is what I'm going to call it, pre-medicine and medicine. Like, pre-medicine,
right.
Like, I would go to work and, like, the day, like, seconds turn into hours. Like, my whole day, an eight-hour day would literally, to me, feel like days. And now that I'm on medicine, it's like an eight-hour day. It's like, dang, where'd the time go? You know, I mean, like, I could have stayed another few hours.
And how's your interest level?
I don't know. I mean, it's kind of different. Like, pre-medicine, I would need to have that high interest level. Like, and that high interest level is usually within the first couple weeks to a few months or whatever, and then you're just so sick of it because you've learned everything. But now that I've taken my medicine again, it's like I don't need that interest level. I'm there to do a job, and whatever that may be, I don't know. It's just,
I think that's so great to share, though, because that's exactly what happens with just everyone I've ever spoken to about it.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a book by my friend Tom Nardone
called Chasing Kites.
I've heard you talking about him on one of your podcasts that I listened to.
Mm-hmm. He wrote this fabulous book about growing up. Well, it's a fabulous book, but it was it's sad, you know. The stigma and the shaming that happens when you're little and, you know, being excluded, it was rough for him. But the thing that got me thinking is that you're talking about all these different jobs pre-medication, and he has the same experience. I forget the number, I think it was 21 or 30 jobs.
I probably have, like, the same resume.
Yeah.
It's so crazy, but the positive side to that, like, pre-medicine, as an ADD-er, when I get into a job and I'm that interested, it's like you're so hyper-focused. You love your job, and you're ready to go. You're ready to learn, and, like, you're absorbing so much information. You learn so fast, and you're, like, the most dedicated employee for, like, the first few weeks, the few months. It just depends on how complicated and what the job is. But, I mean, you feel like, man, I'm catching on quick. I love this job, but you're ready to advance. You know what I mean? You've learned everything. Once you get to a certain point, like, that was always my problem. Like, I would get to, you know, 2 months down the road, and it's just like, all right, I've learned everything. Like, it's getting boring. Can I be promoted to a manager yet? I mean, but that's unrealistic. You know, 2 months into a job, nobody's going to promote you into a manager. But that's just how, you know, what you think, because you've already learned everything. And that's, like, pretty much, to me, that was the goal.
Right. Well, I can tell. You know, too, you're smart, so you're absorbing, you're learning, and the boredom sets in quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now, okay, you've gotten to where you're good with work. What's going on with the school situation, though? Because you said that was the impetus to even start back on medication.
Yeah. Well, a few things happened with that. Like, I procrastinated my butt off when it came to getting stuff done for it, because I needed to take a placement test, and I needed to get in touch with the FAFSA. And I mean, this is my first year, so I kind of didn't really know what was going on. But and then I had to I'm still with the Division of Rehabilitation, so they're helping me. What FAFSA doesn't cover, they're going to help me cover for school. And,
oh, wow, cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really awesome program. I think it's state-funded. And there was one in Illinois, too, when I was living in Illinois. They did that. It was previously when I was taking my CDL, that's where I was at, was in Illinois. But now I'm in Alabama, and I'm with a different rehabilitation service. But there was so many things that I just didn't get done. So now I have an appointment to go talk to a doctor at the school, a psychiatrist, I think it is. And she's got to like, I've already been diagnosed. I've had my screening and everything, like, just a couple months ago, re-diagnosed ADHD. And she's just got it. Since she's a school psychiatrist, she has to confirm it. She has to meet with me. And then that way I'll get, like, extra time on tests since I don't process things.
Accommodations, yeah.
Yeah, and then I also, what is the other thing? Like, my handwriting, like I told you before, like, my processing is, like, it works fine in my head, but when it comes out of my mouth or when it comes out on paper, it's not the same. So I'll get, like, pre-written notes if I have trouble taking notes and stuff like that, so.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, I forgot where that point was going. Yeah, I got to get an appointment with her, so I got to do that first. So, yeah, that's
right.
What's gonna hold me back.
So you have a lot to do before you actually, is your hope to get into, like, a fall semester, or do they run?
Yeah, I was hoping to get into the spring semester, but that didn't work out. I got my placement test done, like, right before the spring semester, but all this other stuff. So if I can't get it done before the summer semester starts, then I'll just go in the fall.
Mm-hmm. What do you want to study?
Computer science.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And what are you doing now?
I'm a delivery driver for a rent-a-center. We just kind
okay,
of,
so you just have, like, a job right now. It's not a career that you want to stick with.
Yeah.
Well, I have to throw out there, fun fact I found out about you that I think our listeners would really, really, I don't know, we'll see what the feedback is, but so you're from Illinois.
Yeah.
But now you live in Alabama, and you've been there 2 years.
Yes,
and you
ma'am.
Have this accent that sounds to me like you're a lifelong Alabamian.
See, I don't hear it, and I don't like when I first moved here, it's so crazy. When you hear people talk with this accent, it almost makes you want to laugh. It's I don't know, it's crazy, but now I don't even hear it, you know what I mean? Like, I don't notice it, but and that may be because I talk like that, but I don't hear it with myself.
Yeah, and I think the reason also why I love Southern accents is I'm from the South. I'm from Tennessee and North Carolina.
Yeah,
so I can listen to a Southern accent all day long. I love it.
And I forgot to tell you that previously when you told me that you lived in Charlotte, North Carolina, I actually lived in North Carolina for about 6 months in Asheville, though, not as far over as Charlotte, but yeah.
That's a beautiful area. It's up in the mountains.
Oh, man. Yeah, it is. It is very beautiful.
That's
it was
excellent.
A big difference for me, though, from moving from, because I went back to Illinois afterwards, but moving from Illinois to kind of country, hilly North Carolina, it was a huge difference. It was pretty, but it was for me, though.
Yeah, and then you went to Alabama.
Yeah, yeah. I honestly didn't think, like, because I live closer towards the beach, I honestly didn't think it would be as southern. Like, I know that's kind of, I don't want to say, like, redneck, because I don't want to be, like, stereotypical, but
right.
I didn't think it would be that as bad as it is towards the beach as it would be in, like, country Alabama, but yeah, it's the same here as it is probably everywhere else in Alabama.
Well, you're in the deep South, we'll say that.
Yeah, deep,
you're
deep.
In the deep South, and it is one state I think I've actually never been through at all.
Oh, man, it's beautiful here. It really is. It's different, but.
Yeah, I've been through most of them, even if it's, like, just driving through to get to somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't think I've been through Alabama, because then you go, like, next is Texas, right?
Mississippi, Louisiana, then. I'm actually
yeah,
right
I got
the,
that wrong.
Florida border, though. Yeah.
Yeah, oh. Well, anyway, Tennessee, yeah. I would always go through Tennessee because I lived in Nashville. Well,
Tennessee's actually right above Alabama.
Exactly.
So you wasn't too
right.
far away.
Right. So if I was headed towards Texas, see, I wouldn't go through Alabama because I was already too far over and west. Yeah. Whatever. Anyway, so you're down there now and you have a family.
Mm-hmm.
And are you seeing ADHD in your family?
Yeah. Like, I'm not sure, like, my girlfriend, she seems pretty, like, focused and analytical and stuff like that. So ADHD, I'm maybe not running her blood or family, mm-hmm. I guess you'd say. But my kids, we have two boys. I have a five-year-old, and, well, he's about to be six in May, and my youngest is about to be four in July. My five-year-old is like his mom. He's just real smart. He picks up things really fast. He's real analytical. for example, like I was over the road driving a truck for a place called Western Express. And while I was on the road, this kid at 2 years old learned to ride his bike by himself. No, he didn't.
Oh my
he didn't
goodness.
Learn. Or no, not 2, 3 years old. He didn't learn. Like he didn't have any help from his mom. Like what he would do is we had a hill in front of our house, and he would just get on it and ride the bike down the hill until the hill stopped, and then he would just keep going. But anyway,
wow.
He's really smart in school. He learned his ABCs and his numbers before even starting kindergarten. But anyway, that's him. He's just focused. And my younger, my 3 year old, he's the exact opposite. he's about to be 4 now, and I think he's just a little slower in taking stuff because he doesn't even really speak full sentences. He can count to a certain extent, but I think it's more of just copying what we tell his brother, what his brother counts to him, or on TV and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And for like another example, for when they're cleaning their room, like if I tell my older son, can you clean your room today? He'll tell me yes, or give me an excuse, just like any kid would. But
right.
He'll tell me yes, and he'll go clean his room by himself, or sometimes he'll even clean it, without me even asking him, and it'll be done. Everything will be put up right. If I try to tell my younger one to clean his room, he'll pick up a toy, and then he'll dance around and jump on the bed and run to the bathroom and then find another toy and play with it. And then I'm like, didn't I tell you to pick up your room? And he's like, oh man, he'll pick up another toy and then back at it again. So, it's just,
right.
I don't know if he forgets that he's supposed to be cleaning his room or if he gets distracted, but I can relate. I was the same exact way. So I can't be mad at him. And the hardest part behind that is something that my younger one would do. Like he doesn't necessarily get in trouble for it because I can tell that it's not really his fault. It's something that's going on in his brain, it's just who he is. And then, but if my older one was to do that, it would feel like he was disobeying or being bad. So it's kind of hard to distribute punishment between the two because I don't want one to feel like that I love them more than the other because the way that I treat them, and the standards that I hold them to. But then again, if I don't hold one to high standards, like my older one, his name's Bentley. If I don't hold Bentley to higher standards, I feel like, he won't reach his full potential, which he has a lot of potential.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That is really a topic that, doesn't get talked about a lot, is that you've got a family. I grew up in a family like that where I did not have ADHD, but my sister did. And when they're so close in age, too, they're, what, a year apart?
Yeah, exactly. It's funny. He was born on May 27th, and my younger one was born on July 27th, so they're 2 years and 2 months apart.
Okay, yeah. They're so close in age, so it's not like you can really easily punish one for doing something and the other one gets away with it, and that's fair.
Yeah. It wouldn't be fair to the older one if I got him in trouble for the other one. That's just
right.
Something to struggle with. Well, was you and your sister close in age too?
Yeah, we were 2.5 years apart. And now, granted, this is my memory of it, but I remember always being in trouble, and she was never in trouble. And I remember thinking it wasn't fair.
Yeah.
Why am I in trouble for this and she's doing it too?
And was you the older or was you the younger?
I was the older one. Right. It's the same situation. And I always chalked it up to that I was the older one. Always that they weren't getting mad at the baby, like she was younger.
Right.
So
yeah.
They weren't getting mad at her because she was younger. And like there was more pressure on being the older one.
Yeah. More responsibility.
Right. And so that's how it seemed to me.
Mm-hmm.
But now, looking back and now knowing, she also used to have severe panic attacks and high anxiety, once we got into, middle school. So maybe as they get even older, you'll start to really see more differentiation.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, they weren't going to punish her when she's going to have an anxiety attack. But I didn't really... I was also off doing my own thing because, there's a big difference between fifth grade and seventh grade.
Yeah.
So as they get older, maybe it won't be right now they're both little, so I know what you're saying. But as they get older, they'll start to be at different milestones. It'll seem like they're further apart than they are.
Yeah. I mean, they already seem, you know, almost miles apart just because of the, like, just the developmental process of how my older one is just picks up everything and he learned everything so quickly. And then my younger one just, you know, he's still, to me, he might, you know, he actually might just be on track. But from seeing my first one grow up and learn everything so fast and at an early age, and maybe it was just way, you know, in advance, but, you know, it's just, I can't really tell. You know, I've only raised two kids.
Right, right. And you can only go by what you know. Right, exactly.
<Yeah. laughs>
Do you have any brothers and sisters?
I have a sister. I grew up with my mom, just a single parent household, and I grew up with my sister there. I did have a brother on my dad's side, and I actually didn't get to really fully meet him until I was 16, and that's when I moved to North Carolina. That's where my dad lives. I moved there for about 6 months. I met my brother and my dad, and I found out where I got my ADHD from.
Oh, so you grew up with a sister and a mom who didn't have it?
I wouldn't say my sister or my mom either has it, but my dad is, you know, he's the one that has it real bad. I got it from him for sure.
Okay. Well, yeah, it travels in families. It's always interesting. You know, my family, it's in a lot of my family members, but I'm adopted, so I think that's how I escaped.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's how I escaped having it. But, you know, that's not to say, there's also, like you said, your sister, you know, she wasn't adopted, but she didn't have it.
So she didn't
find it. Yeah, I always find family dynamics so interesting.
Yeah, so I'm kind of curious. Cool. Was you the adopted one, or was you guys both adopted, you and your sister?
No, I'm the only one adopted because my parents were told that they couldn't have kids.
And so they actually eventually had one then?
Yeah. And it's amazing because that's actually very common. They say, whoever they is, but they say that once you adopt a kid, that you stop this trying to have a kid and the stress trying. So, and then naturally you just get pregnant and, yeah, and then my sister came.
Yeah, that's cool. Did you ever feel like, you know, you kind of chalk it up to ADHD now, and back then you chalked it up to being the older child, but did it ever run through your mind that, you know, maybe it's because she's their real daughter and I'm adopted? Or did you know then?
Yeah, no, we used to fight about that. But when we got really nasty, I want to say this is like, when we started being teenagers, like preteen, I remember some really wicked fights. Yeah, I remember some really bad fights. And it was my sister saying, well, you know, you don't even belong here. You're not even really their child. And I was like, well, you know, they picked me out. They're just stuck with you and your ugly moose face.
Oh, man, that's a good comeback. I got to admit that. But
I remember saying that. It was so mean. It was so mean. But, you know, we were fighting. We were kids. We were fighting.
See, I wouldn't have been as quick on my feet. I would have just been like, oh, man, you're right. And kind of just walked away and been sad, probably.
Yeah, no, I wasn't having any of it. I was scrappy. Yeah. Oh, boy, it's funny, because I don't think I was the nicest big sister either. Well, I'm going to let you go. Let's see. I could just talk to you forever, though, Sean. I got to thank you so much for writing in. You're very dedicated. It's awesome. I mean, very inspirational for people that are in your shoes. There's a lot of people in your shoes.
Yeah, because it's not, to me, I feel like it's just not talked about. And a lot of people just, they think that it's just them. So, and I mean, I felt like that before. And I mean, even sometimes recently. So, I mean, hopefully when people hear this, they'll see, you know, maybe if I get a low dose of something, that'll maybe give me just that little extra edge to be myself.
Oh, and you had said, you know, if you're happy to speak to anyone who might feel like they're in your shoes, to reach out to you on Facebook? Is that the best way to reach you? Yeah, Sean Wallace on Facebook. And I did put you in the group on Facebook. Did you see
that? I just seen that today.
And I want to extend that to anyone listening. If you're looking for a nice group of folks, it's a mixed group. There's some people that have ADHD and there's some people who don't. And we're just all in it together talking about life as it comes. You can are welcome to join us at facebook.com/groups/C in ADHD. And again, thank you so much. It was really a pleasure meeting you. And I will see you in the group.
Yeah, no, not a problem. Can't wait to be back on the show.
Oh, great. Okay. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
That's it for the show, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. And whether you have ADHD yourself, or live with or love someone who does, or both, remember, we're all in this together. And everybody benefits when we begin to see through the other's eyes.